I'm glad to be here. I don't know where else I would rather be. This is a troubled world. Amen. And we need to come together and hear the word of God. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." It's one thing to hear it. It's quite a job to keep it, isn't it? Amen. But with the Lord's help and by his grace, I believe everything will be all right. We're in for some trying times. But thank God we know the one to call out unto and to look unto. And we'll begin this time right now of the Word of God with prayer. Would you join with me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, that we can come to thee tonight. For thou art the living God, and there is none but thee. There is none else. Beside thee there is no Savior. We turn to thee, O Lord, humbly asking that thou wouldst help us and strengthen us, asking, Lord, that thou wouldst stretch forth thine almighty hand to pick us up, for we stand in great need of thee. We need thy touch, O Lord. We need thy comfort and thy strength. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst move upon us with the power of thy Spirit, and in thy mercy and in thy grace, that thou wouldst sustain us. I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst rebuke every devil, every unclean spirit, every force of darkness, every hindering power, everything that would exalt itself against thee, O Lord, and against thy word, thy people, and thy kingdom. Lord, let thy word have the preeminence tonight. Help us to hear thy word. Grant us thy grace to keep it. Let thy will be done in this place and in every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are opening now to the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And the 34th was quite a heavy chapter, wasn't it? The Lord began to pronounce all of the things he was going to do upon the nation and unto the world. And it was not a pretty sight. What we read, what we studied, was quite heavy. In fact, if you take it seriously, I think it'd make the hair on your neck stand up. When you stop to think of the hand of Almighty God. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. The Bible warns us that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. That means unexpected. That means people aren't looking for him. And I ask you tonight, how much of the world is looking for him? Not much. Not much. And only through prayer and through the study of God's word do we look for him. That's why it's so essential that we have our minds stayed upon the Lord. Now that's a tough order. Amen. Because there are a lot of distractions. Many distractions. But thank God we can do it with his help and by his grace. You know, the world is getting so exceedingly wicked. And I'm just saying this to remind you. You've probably noticed. But I want to remind you that God still judges sin. He still has a swift sword. There is still a hell that is a threat to the people of this world. And the Bible says in the fifth chapter of the book of Isaiah that hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure to receive all of the ungodly and all of those who are pompous and arrogant, such as you have been able to observe among the politicians. You probably expected me to say something about this. Amen. You know how anybody could vote for a man like that? A vote for Bill Clinton is indefensible. Indefensible. There's absolutely no way you could justify it. And yet millions of people went out and did just that. And I'm going to tell you why. They know that the president is an adulterer. He is a whoremonger. He is an unclean person in many, many ways. I mean, this Jesus said, "By their fruit ye shall know them." And they know all of this. But the fact is, he is so truly one of them. It's because many of the people in this world, the vast majority in this country, want to be like that. And if they had the opportunity that he's got, they'd do the same thing. They like him. They want a leader that they can point to and say, "Well, he's doing it. Now we can do it." See, that's the thing about leadership that you have to remember. As parents, we try to set an example for our children and pray and hope that they will grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and grow up to have enough sense to serve God. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But we have to have the example of leadership. They always say, like father, like son. That's many times true, not every time. But when you look at the president that we've got now, you know, when they try to ask him questions, you notice how he dodges around all the time? He does a little dance routine, a little song and dance routine, dodges around every question. You know, I got thinking about that. There was a time when we had a Lincoln for president. We've had a Ford for president. Now we've got a Dodge for president. Well, it's an interesting thought, isn't it? Anyway, so what we've got in our nation, I'll tell you, there's rough times coming. Because the Lord, when he looked at the world in Noah's day, he saw it was full of violence. It was full of sin. It was full of unholy marriages and just people. You know how bad it is? There are young people, I think they can just go and live together and that's all right. That's called fornication. And the Bible says fornicators don't go to heaven. Yes. And it's got to be repented of. There are people that think, for some unknown reason to me, that seem to be able to justify to themselves that they can do all kinds of things in violation of God's commandments. Some people think they don't have to keep the commandments anymore. That somehow when Jesus came, he came to excuse everything. No, I'll tell you how heavy sin is. If you look at the picture the Bible gives us of Jesus nailed to the cross, wearing the crown of thorns, bleeding and suffering and dying, there's your price of sin right there. That's how much it cost, you see. He didn't come to excuse anything. He came to forgive. He came to seek and save that which was lost. But he came to call people out of darkness into his marvelous light. To take them out of a world of sin and into his kingdom. To put a separation between the godly and the ungodly. To make a difference. That's the reason he came. And you know, people many times forget the whole thing. It becomes a story to them. And their church becomes just a religion to them. And most churches, that's all it is a religion. And religion will not save. No religion in this world, not any amount of religion in this world, can save your soul. It takes the stretching forth of the hand of Almighty God in his mercy and grace to lift you up and to call you out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad to know that tonight. And what we have in our land is sin. It abounds. It's everywhere. I know, and you know, and very soon everybody's going to know that the president, William Jefferson Blythe, who took the name Clinton, see, his father was a traveling salesman and had children all over the country. Remember the bumper stickers, honk if you're related to Bill Clinton? Huh? Anyway, this man is going to pardon his friends that are in jail. He's going to pardon them all. And we're talking about people that have swindled, people that have done horrible things, atrocious things, and robbed people of a lot of money. And have been involved in many murders to keep people quiet. There's nothing quieter than a dead man, you see. And they've actually had hitmen. They've done every imaginable thing, unimaginable thing even, to destroy and to be able to take over and seize upon their desired treasure. Well, anyway, Bill Clinton is going to be pardoning these people. And I just found out he rented a hotel in Bangkok, Thailand. An entire hotel. Rented it with your tax money. He's going to go there and celebrate shortly. And he's taking all of his friends with him that he's going to pardon. And what's interesting about Bangkok is it is the prostitution capital of the world. There are more prostitutes and whores in Thailand, in Bangkok particularly, than any other place in the world. Now, why did Bill Clinton choose a hotel in Bangkok, Thailand? Why is he going to pardon all of these criminals? And that's exactly what they are. And haul them all off to Thailand for a little retreat, little recreation. Well, that's the one thing that could very well happen. God's not going to let people get away with things like that. He just isn't. That's the consolation we have. We could be very upset. I am somewhat upset because I can't understand how people can put somebody like that back into office when he's given them 4 years like he has already. You have to ask yourself, where is this? Do people have brains anymore? You got to wonder. Wouldn't you like to just get people and unscrew the top of their head and pour common sense in and screw it back on real tight so it doesn't leak out? And you have to ask where, what, where, who, where, why, what, when, how can they justify something like this? But there's another little point that ought to be made too. And you will note that the media, when they were endorsing the president for re-election, they did so with disclaimers. Many of them said, well, we have serious reservations about this, but we are endorsing the president for re-election. We realize he has many flaws, there are many problems, but we're still endorsing him. I think what you could very well see now is a lot of heat put on the situation, and then the press going against him, because really the one that they want is Al Gore. He is their beloved. He is the one that he is the tree hugger, love the world type of a person. And they want him. And they may very well pull the plug on the president. You might see another, like Nixon resigned, you might see another similar situation. I don't know, resigned or take him out some other way. I don't know. I just thank God that I'm not in that particular battle. I'll denounce what's going on because it's sin. Some people say a preacher shouldn't get involved in any politics. You've got to denounce sin. If it's sin, I don't care if it's the president doing it or anybody else. You've got to denounce it from the Word of God. If every preacher that's out there would do that, we'd have something going, wouldn't we? You know why John the Baptist was beheaded? Do you know why Herodias was so mad at him? He got involved in the politics of the situation and said that Herod couldn't have her because she was married to somebody else. And she got so mad that she set up the situation whereby he was executed. Because he dared to speak out. But what are we going to do? Well, as Christians, we're going to keep doing what's right. Amen. And the Bible tells me that the day would come, and I believe it's here. It's here because the devil's on the loose. That the day would come when those things that are done in secret would be shouted from the rooftops. The devil loves silence as far as people who know the truth. He wants to keep them quiet. He works in the midst of darkness and ignorance. Satan wants you ignorant. And I'll tell you, it's amazing how many people, you know, you look around at other people and you think, they must know what I know. But they don't. People that graduate from school, people that come through the colleges, and they're so brainwashed, they're so programmed, they're communistic, they're socialistic, they have made people into images of the beast, little images of the devil. running around doing what the devil wants them to do. It's really, really something. Well, let's look at something very positive here, because even though the world is rapidly becoming hell, you know, if the Lord is rescuing us, if we're one of His, if we're one of His elect, if we are faithful and true and His elect, this is the only hell you'll ever know. But you will note the world is becoming more and more hellish, isn't it? A little more like hell every day. And we could go on and describe what's happening with people, what their ideologies are, how apathetic some people are that could rise up. There are all kinds of problems. But I want to show you what Jesus did by having you look now with me. All this was introductory. I hope you know that. Isaiah 35, verse 1. Now, by the way, when Bill Clinton and his gang go over to Bangkok, Thailand, who knows what they're going to come back with? As Sister Darlene had mentioned, if you start fooling around with fornication and so forth, you're liable to pick up all kinds of things. That could very well be his demise. I don't know. Maybe not. Well, that would be real wishful thinking. One-way ticket. I just have a problem with Air Force One flying into the whore capital of the world. It's what a reproach. When you look back at some of the men like Abraham Lincoln and some of these other men that had some integrity, and I'm not saying these people were perfect, don't get me wrong, but they were astute. They had some integrity. They had some standards, some morals. And then you look at that bunch of goofballs that are in there now. There's just no comparison. Isaiah 35, verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now, I want to point out what a contrast this is. The previous chapter told of how much the earth is becoming like hell and how it would be given over to the flames. But now we see a plan that the Lord Himself devised for His people. In contrast to all of the destruction and all of the evil that's going on in the world. That's why Jesus said, "You're in the world, but not of it." And the time will come when He will take us from this planet as He burns it and turns it into a planet that you could properly call hell. Well, amen. But He said the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with a joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Well, when would this be? Let's read on. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. I want to ask you, don't you ever get tired sometimes of this world? It's enough to make your knees weak and feeble, isn't it, sometimes? You tremble and you think of all the evil and how God has judged Sodom and Gomorrah and all of these things that have happened, and you see people trifling with God right now, playing games with their own soul. And I'm going to ask you a question that the Lord asked. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his own soul? It's quite a thought, isn't it? But He said, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Now that's a promise. Huh? He's going to come with vengeance. You know, I gotta confess to you that one of the struggles that I've got is looking at Bill Clinton and not wanting to slap his face. He's got that smirk. Now, that isn't very nice of me. But I'm just admitting to you tonight that that's one thought that I've wrestled with. If I got close enough to him, I'd probably be in jail because I think he'd get one. I don't know, unless the Lord had stopped me, but that's my impulse. It's something about the smirk, like he's getting away with murder. He is for a while. But this verse gives me great comfort. See, some people, if you tell them God's coming with vengeance, they'd get shook up. And others would say, praise the Lord. Amen. Depends on what side of the fence you're on, doesn't it? Amen. It says, behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. And he did. And he's coming again. See, this is telling of when he came to a wicked world the first time. But it also tells when he comes again. Because he is coming again. Remember? Remember the message of the angel who spoke and said, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. They don't preach that much anymore either, do they? I'll tell you, if he came and looked at a lot of these churches the way they are, he'd just send a ball of fire in there and wipe them out. Get their rock music in there and all their anything goes stuff. I'll tell you, God's going to pull the plug on that mess. That's going to go because it's evil. But it says he will come with a vengeance and with a recompense, and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And do you know what this world is right now? It is a desert. Spiritually, it is a desert. It is a wilderness. And do you know how scarce the Word of God is? I'll tell you. If we go to Amos chapter 8, the prophet Amos prophesied of a time that would come. And that time is certainly here. He said in Amos 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's the famine. Where do you hear it? Where can you go? And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. That's how bad it has gotten. Churches are doing everything but preaching the word of God. They want to be entertained. They want a fellowship meeting. They want to have a lot of fun. But they don't want to kneel and pray. They don't want to repent. It's not stylish to repent, is it? And yet it is the repentant people that find the Lord, is it not? Doesn't the Bible say the Lord is nigh unto those that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit? Amen. But churches want to recreate. They want a lot of fun. They want to do a lot of things. But we need the Word of God and we need prayer or we're not going to get through this thing. We absolutely have to do it. And understand me, it isn't our own works that get us there. But in prayer and in Scripture, we find His will. We find His direction. And we find our hope. And then everything is all right because we trust Him. All right? You understand that? But He came the first time. And He opened the eyes of the blind. He opened the ears of the deaf. And some would say He did that 2,000 years ago, almost. But I remember when He opened my blinded eyes. Because I couldn't see spiritually. I was a dumb Lutheran. Well, you know, you go in these churches and they have what? Statues put up. Statues of what's supposed to be Jesus. Of course, nobody knows what He really looks like. Do you know why God didn't tell us what He looked like? Precisely because He knew that if we knew, we'd make statues. But they made them anyway. Statues and symbols and relics and all kinds of things. And my Bible tells me that when people have idols like that, that these idols that can't see, these idols made of stone, they can't hear. They have a mouth, but they can't speak. And the Scripture says, they that make them are like unto them. They are blind, deaf, and dumb. You know, you hear of people sometimes that are quadriplegics and people that are that have their senses are not there. They can't see, they can't hear. And if you find somebody who can't see or hear or talk, you think, what a horrible person or situation that person is in. What an awful condition to go through life and when you can't see and you can't hear and you can't speak. But spiritually, this world's full of people like that. Just as pathetic. They don't have understanding. But what's amazing about the whole thing is, all too often it's by choice. I don't want to see. I don't want to hear. But He opened my eyes that I was blind, but now I see. He opened my ears so I could hear Him. Do you know what it means to be able to have the gift of God, the discernment and the ability to hear His Word? What a gift that is. If you can hear what I'm preaching tonight and you can understand this, that's a gift. If you can read the Bible and it sinks down into your heart, you're one of the few. Think of it. You don't want to waste a gift either. Don't waste a gift. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. This is a desert, dreary desert, this world. But streams have broken forth. Praise God. Remember how Jesus told a woman at a well one time that if she'd drink of the water that He had, she would never thirst again? Well, there are streams in this desert if you know where to find them. And the Lord has said it that way for us. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And in highway, now watch this, in highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, the fools, shall not err therein. Isn't that wonderful? What did Jesus do when he came to this world? What did he accomplish? Well, he purchased our salvation. And you know what? He succeeded too. Every person that he set out to save, he will save. Do I have a verse for that? Oh, yes. Remember the scripture? Thou shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It wouldn't be an attempt. It would be an accomplishment. Amen. He is able to do it. People talk about heaven. Isn't it something how you talk to people out there, they think everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. They might be a drunkard, whoremonger, thief, whatever. When they die, they're carried off by the angels. That's what people think. Can you imagine what a rude awakening? What a rude awakening people would have. I've talked to people already and they don't want anything to do with God. I don't want anything to do with God. I tell them, all right. But remember one thing. When you die and you find yourself on the way to hell, you just remember, somebody told you and you've been warned. You see? Maybe, just maybe, something like that would jar somebody loose. See, we never know who's going to answer the call. We never know who's going to believe. Sandra? None of them is lost. But I'll tell you something. There's one thing that you have in common with me and I have in common with all of you. If the Lord has called you, if he has chosen you, if you're one of his, we all have one thing in common. Every one of us were a lost sheep. We were a lost sheep. A lost one. We were lost. Amen. And he went out and found us, didn't he? You understand that? That's one thing we all have in common. We were lost. We were in bondage. We were in danger. But when he came, he brought forth a stream in the desert. He led us out with a mighty hand. He took us out of Egypt and out of Babylon. And I'll tell you, you might say, where is Egypt today? What's that, an insignificant little country? I don't mean as a country. I'm not speaking geographically now. He took us out of spiritual Egypt and spiritual Babylon and the Roman Empire. And where is that? Well, it's over toward the east a little ways there as you go toward the Atlantic Ocean. It's called Washington, D.C. And it's called New York City if you're talking about Babylon. But if you're wondering where Egypt is spiritually, Egypt and Sodom and all those wicked things, you look at Washington, D.C., and you look at that Washington Monument, 555 feet high, the obelisk or obelisk, obelisk, shaft of Baal or Bel, a filthy reproductive organ symbol that's put up there. That's exactly what it is. The Pentagon, five-sided. Did you hear my dimensions earlier? That Washington Monument, 555, triple five, 555 for the height. Symbol of death. The impending death caused by Baal. Spiritual death, five tripled. The Pentagon, the five-sided figure with all the fives inside, five stories high, five sides. If you run the angles out, a five-pointed star, a pentacle. Think of that. Talk about witchcraft. Some people get upset why you're not very patriotic, are you? Well, I'll tell you what. The Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. And if something's wrong, it's wrong. There's no way you can make it right. This world is a God-forsaken place when it comes to evil. Evil man. The reason it's still standing is God has a people here that he has chosen from the foundation of the world. That's another unpopular doctrine, you know, that God chooses us. Usually people want to do the choosing, don't they? They want to say, I'm here because I chose to be here, because I chose the Lord, because I chose to pray, and I chose to read. No, you didn't choose anything. No man would ever choose God. No one. It's his choice for us. And thank God. That gives all the glory to him. None for me. He must increase, I must decrease. All right? So, he put a highway in this world. Can you picture this now? You have a wicked, sin-filled world with dangers on every hand, pitfalls everywhere, threats everywhere. You can't get comfortable in this world. But the Lord put a highway through it, spiritual highway, that you can get on and travel home. You can get on that highway. If you get off of that highway, you're going to flounder around in the world. And they're going to run roughshod over you, and so is the devil. But if you get on that road and stay on that road, and by his grace, keep walking on that road. You know what it's like? It's like soldiers going home after the battle. Walking home on a road that is, we're going home. We're walking toward home. And of course, there are so many temptations to try to get you to go off into the world. This way or that way, to the right or to the left, the devil doesn't care as long as you get off from that road. But it's a highway, the way of holiness. And listen to this, the unclean shall not pass over it. I can walk on this road and not have to worry about Bill Clinton stepping on and polluting it. Because the unclean can't get on it. It's the way of holiness. Or any of his other bunch of whatever they are. The Lord knows. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools. I don't have to be a very intelligent person to get on this road. See, that's why the Bible says you should never call another Christian a fool. Jesus said, if you call another Christian a fool, you're in danger of hellfire. Why the severe penalty? I don't care how dumb a person may seem, if they got enough sense to repent and listen to God, they're no fool. A praying man is not a fool. A Bible reading man is not a fool. But those that reject the Word of God, those that reject prayer, they're the fools. Amen. Those that teach that we came from monkeys and other lower forms of life by way of evolution, those are the fools. The Bible says that. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. It's so simple to understand that even a fool wouldn't make a mistake. Amen. But it's a matter of obedience. Remember what the scripture tells us? Remember in the days of King Saul and the prophet Samuel? What did he say to Saul? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. Isn't that right? No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. When we were out in New York there, we stood in front of that Council on Foreign Relations building, the headquarters of the Illuminati, a devil's building if there ever was one. And Arnie, what was on the front doors? Two lions. Two big gold lions' heads with weird eyes, strange-looking eyes on them. I think there was something inhabiting those idols. In fact, I know there was. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed. When something's redeemed, it's paid for, it's bought back. Oh, to think the Lord would pay a price for me. The dust of the ground. And he would pay a price like that. You realize what a price that was? Almighty God to come down and put on flesh, become a man like us, and to let all the people of this world do what they did. He offered himself, but in doing so, he won the victory. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. Now, when I say Zion, I always have to qualify this because people don't understand it anymore. It's referring to the Jerusalem that is above, not anything in this world. There are those that have seized upon that word to try to make a nation or a system become Zion, and it is not. It is an imposter. There are a people that try to stand up and say, we are the chosen, and they've got most of what's called Christianity believing it. But you know how you can tell if somebody is chosen? If they embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and his doctrine. Amen. If they answer his call, if they're doing his work. In other words, the chosen people are the people of the Lord Jesus Christ and nobody else. And if they don't have that testimony of Jesus Christ, but quite the contrary, they may be chosen, but they're chosen of the devil. Come on. And the ransomed. A ransom was paid. Before it said we were redeemed. Now, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. How can this be in such a troubled world? When all of this, there's all this harassment and all of this danger and threats and insecurity, well, we've got to find that highway. We've got to find the highway. And when you find that highway and you find it in the Spirit, and you've got to believe by faith that it's there, if you can find that highway, then you'll have the peace of God, the power of God, the protection from God, all the things we need and want, most of all, are on that highway. Let me show you something to support that. I want to have you turn with me for a couple of minutes over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Oh, have you noticed how arrogant Hillary is now? Did you notice something during the campaign? You didn't hear anything from her? Huh? But now, watch out. Ahab and Jezebel. I'm going to be doing a newsletter, the Lord willing, an upcoming one pretty soon, comparing Bill Clinton to Nero Caesar. And I'll tell you, the parallels are amazing. The only difference is Nero had a violin and Clinton's got a saxophone. But other than that, they're about the same thing. And what's amazing is that if you take a profile of Bill Clinton, you know, if you just take the sketch, his profile, his face, and you take that of Nero Caesar, they could be twins. They look the same. Same face. If you took Bill Clinton and put laurel wreaths around his head and put some white robes on him, we don't want to do that. But I'm just saying, if that happened, he would be the twin brother to Nero Caesar, who was so insane. And what did Nero do? I'm giving my whole newsletter away here. What did Nero do? He put Rome to the torch, didn't he? And then he played some wild fiddle music while Rome was burning. And then he blamed the Christians. The Christians burned Rome. It's their fault. They destroyed the country, see? You watch how he is going to blame the... You know, right before the election, he went running to the right wing, what he called the Christian right, to try to present himself as a Christian. You know what? 11% of that Christian right voted for him. Well, I don't know if you can say these people are really Christians anyway. Not everything that barks is a dog, you know. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few, what does it say? Few there be that find it. The cold, hard truth is this. We are on one road or we are on the other. We are on our way to heaven or we are on our way to hell. Many, in fact most, are on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. Few are on the other route, and getting fewer. See, all these evangelists say, big revival coming, big revival coming. Well, we'll get Morris Corallo and Pat Robertson and all these characters. What's the other one? Falwell. And they're going to bring in millions and millions and millions. And they do if you're talking dollars. But not souls. Some of these evangelists can't tell a soul from a dollar. The revival they have is their pockets. My grandmother was a Lutheran. But toward the end, she didn't go to church much. She spent most of her time praying. And she used to tell me, she said, David, I'll never forget her pointing her bony little finger at me. She said, David, when that Lutheran, because I was a Lutheran at the time, she says, David, when that Lutheran church rings its bells, you listen to the bells because they're saying, bring Geld, bring Geld, bring Geld, bring money, bring money, bring money. Huh? That's all it is. And these people are on the other route, the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's an unpopular route to travel. They talk about all these millions of souls are going to come in, but that's not what the Bible says. Jesus himself declared that as it was in the days of Noah, how many were there that went into the ark? Just 8. As it was in the days of Lot, how many went out of the city? Just 4. And one of them turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Don't turn around and don't look back. Don't leave your heart back there in Sodom. As you leave it completely. Amen. And so if we compare the last days to the days of Noah and to the days of Sodom, I don't see any big revival. I see a big destruction. I see the wrath of God coming with only a little remnant escaping. And you know what the Bible says? It says the righteous are scarcely saved. Do you hear that, everybody? The righteous are scarcely saved. And where do the sinner and the ungodly appear? Huh? If we just make it by the skin of our teeth, and that is a scriptural expression, I notice some tongues going like this. You know, somebody say the word teeth, people's tongue just kind of wanders around. But in Job, it talks about the skin of the teeth, doesn't it? Yeah. Where do the sinner and the ungodly appear? Oh, what a day that's going to be. So the scripture goes on and tells us in verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. There's a blackness of the heart, but they come in a sheep's clothing. Do you ever notice these ministers? They put on a black robe and then they throw a white one over the top of it. Huh? Do you ever see that? Look at some of these. It started with the priest. The Catholic priest did it, and then the Lutheran ministers started doing it, and the Methodists do it, and a lot of other ones. They wear a black robe, and they'll throw a white one over the top of the black. Now, there's a wolf in sheep's clothing right there. Symbology, they call it. Okay? Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Good question, isn't it? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. In other words, if you have an apple tree, for example, how do you know it's a good apple tree? How can you say it's a good apple tree? By its apples. If it'll grow a good apple, it's a good tree. You can say the same thing with pears and peaches or anything else. As the old saying goes, too, if you go back to the Garden of Eden, it wasn't the apple on the tree that was the problem, it was the pear on the ground. Right? Okay. Just so we got to remember these things. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Sounds like there's going to be some charismatics around there. And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then, now hear the wording carefully here. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I've heard people tell me, I've heard preachers tell me, this is talking about people who at one time were good Christians, but then they quit serving God. They just, you know, backslid and quit serving him altogether. And that's why they're going to be cast off at the end. But this scripture says that the Lord never knew them. In other words, they're phony baloney. There are a lot of churches that are phony baloney. Right? And since they sign up with the federal government, they are U.S. government inspected baloney. Yeah. They've got the label. Amen. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What is our foundation tonight? Amen. Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it His Word? Is it His kingdom? Are we founded and established there? Then no matter what kind of storms come, the house will stand. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. What is he stressing here? Again, I say, obedience. Obedience. You might say, well, I don't know, I just can't obey God. It's too hard, it's too tough, I can't do it. I'll tell you why that is. If that's the case with you, it's because you're trying to do it on your own. And that's impossible. You might as well try and walk to the moon. Can't be done. But if you will humble yourself and pray and ask for the Lord's guidance, you'll find a strength that you never knew you could possibly have. We have to approach it the right way. If I try to do it my way, who's saying that? Frank Sinatra sang a song, I Did It My Way. Well, if he did it his way, I know where he's going to be. We have to do it the Lord's way. And the way up is down. If I humble myself, what did he say? If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves. Didn't he say that? And pray. Then will I hear from heaven. And he had all these wonderful promises for us. He's going to heal our land and so forth. I'll tell you, we got to find that highway because it's getting to be hell out there. Look for the highway. It's there. The Lord set it there. He established it there. We can walk right through this jungle. Because he's calling us. But you got to stay on the highway. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, the world today is saying, let's all join together and become one. Let's all become one. The Lord is saying, come out and be separate. Come to the highway of holiness. Amen. Jesus said, if you set your hand to the plow and you look away, any man who sets his hand to the plow and doesn't stay right there and keep watching what he's doing, you look to the right or to the left, what did Jesus say? He's not worthy of the kingdom of God. I never ran one of those plows. But I've talked to some people who have. And they all told me the same thing. You've got to watch every minute where you're going. Because if you take your eyes off for just a second, you'll start to go off another direction. Anybody here run one can tell me that's the case? Yeah. You know, that's the thing. Many of the things the Lord told us, people can't relate to them nowadays because they've never been involved with things like that. Thank God we can understand. I'm glad there are a few old-timers around that can tell us about the plow. Amen. Keep your eyes on what you're doing. Walk with the Lord. We're going to stand together tonight, if you would please, and there is a highway of holiness. God help us to walk therein. Shall we have a word of prayer and then we'll sing a chorus and be dismissed? Father in heaven, we are so thankful tonight that thou hast set forth a highway that we might walk thereon. For thou alone, O Lord, art able to save us, and for this we thank thee. And I pray thy blessing to be upon all thy people, that thou wouldst lead us and direct us in the way of holiness, that thou wouldst strengthen us, O God, in our faith. Lord, let our hearts and minds be stayed upon thee. We ask thee, O Lord, that thou wouldst do a miracle for us, that thou wouldst draw us, O Lord, by thy power in the way everlasting. We yield ourselves to thee, O Lord. Help our hearts to be true and faithful. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus and through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. God bless you. Could we sing a chorus?